Now that I'm at Montana, I can't hardly have an empty sink, so I kind of have to move on and do some other things instead of synchronization. Here's our troublemaker. Okay? Why is she a troublemaker? Because she won't rebreed. Why won't she rebreed? Because she has a long postpartum anestrus interval. Why does she have a long postpartum anestrus interval? Because she's got insufficient energy to reproduce. Why? Probably obvious by now, I've got a 5-year-old at home. Always asking questions, why? Here's where we're headed tonight. We're going to talk about why, and whether it's a new problem or a bigger problem today than it was 15 or 20 years ago. And then we're going to talk about some of the things that I see as potential solutions. A quote from somebody, distinguished member, I should say, of this audience. My cows weigh 1,200 pounds is as big a lie as I love you just as much in the morning. And you think about it. Cow size has increased in the past 15 to 20 years on the average. Okay? And what kind of effect has that had on our ability to get cows rebred, especially young cows rebred? Now, those of you that know me know I like to ask a lot of questions, so I need somebody to answer me a question. What's one reproductive trait that we've selected for in our beef cow herd? What's a reproductive trait we've selected for in the past 15 to 20 years? Milk is one. It's not the one I want now. I'll ask for that one later. Earlier puberty? That's right. If you look at age and weight of puberty, and this shows on the this side, British breeds, continental breeds, and looking at age over the last 15 to 20 years, age of puberty has gone down, considerably gone down. Okay, at the same time, if you look at the British breeds, and I know it's not fair to lump all cattle into either British breeds or continental breeds, the weight at puberty has gone up a little bit in the British breeds, probably a function of increased mature weight and increased growth, or selection for those traits. And in the continental breeds, it stayed pretty much the same and gone down a little bit. Okay? So we're trying to get... take home from this is that we at least don't have one of the problems we had 15, 20 years ago. We don't have too much trouble getting heifers to reach puberty. Okay? And that's a good thing, because if you look at this data set from 20 years ago, if heifers were developed to reach 65% of mature weight, then they reproduced far better, had a higher conception rate, and they had a little bit less calving difficulty. But herein lies the problem. 20 years ago, 65% of mature cow weight was 680 pounds. Today, 65% of a 1,400-pound mature cow weight, and realize we're talking about mature cows at 6 years of age, not the open 3-year-old that you sold. We're talking about a heifer that's got to reach 900 pounds before breeding to be 65% of mature weight. Let me illustrate something. This is what a beef heifer or cow growth curve would look like. 20 years ago, or 17 years ago, didn't mean to press that one yet. We had heifers that were weaning at about 475, 500 pounds, right? And that was about 45% of that cow's weight. They were reaching puberty at about 55% of their mature weight, and we were breeding them at 65% of their mature weight. They were calving at 80% of their mature weight. And notice, though, from calving as 2-year-olds to calving as 3-year-olds, there's not a lot of growth that those girls do. Okay? Then they went on, and after 4 or 5 years, 6 years, they finally reached mature weight, if they're still in our herd. Okay? Today, we're weaning heavier calves, but they're a lighter, or they're a lower percent of the mature cow weight and a lower percent of that cow's body weight. They're reaching puberty earlier, and we're getting a little bit lazy, and we're breeding them at lower than 60% of their mature body weight. So when they calve as two-year-olds, they only weigh three-fourths of what they should weigh as a mature cow. They have to make this up at some point here. And I think one of the big problems we have is this area right in here is getting cows to be able to recover when they're calving at a lower percent of their mature body weight. And I think most of you probably agree that's one of the problems we have. So are there some new factors that are affecting the rebreeding performance of young cows? And I think there are. One of them is mature cow sizes increased. We've done a better job at selecting for earlier and decrease the age and weight at breeding for the most part, and decrease the percent of mature weight at first calving. And what's one of the other traits that we selected for in the past 15, 20 years? Increased milk production, right? All of these things have taken their toll. If you look around the country today, I'll bet half of the commercial cows in this country are all black. And I'm sure there's people out here who say that's good because they sell black bulls. But I don't know that that's helped the commercial producer to get away from heterosis. We've got to remember what we learned in animal breeding classes. And I'm glad my animal breeding instructor is not here because it's probably not much. Okay? If we're going to talk about some of the solutions, we have to talk about what we're measuring. For cows and heifers, the measurement, or the yardstick here, is the pregnancy rate. The percentage of cows became pregnant out of those exposed to breeding. And we use it as a culling tool. And when you reach my age, you've seen enough open cows that you forget about the kid in you. You forget to ask why. Why didn't that cow become pregnant or that heifer become pregnant? And go back and try to figure out why they're falling through the cracks. Because it probably varies from everybody's herd in here. Some of you've got the same problem, but a lot of you don't. Here's another thing you might look at, is a calving distribution. Because calving distribution, especially pertaining to an age group of cows within your herd, might help you identify why you've got some open cows. If you look at the percentage of calves born on the y-axis, day of the calving season along the x-axis, and broken out by different age groups, maybe we can figure out where our problems lie. We know that if we're going to have the same calving season next year, we have to start breeding 80 days after we start calving. And from this illustration, at least, it's the three-year-olds that are having trouble, right? There are troublemakers in this herd. Why? Is it because we didn't develop the heifers properly? Or does it have something to do with our calving and postpartum management? Another measure of fertility is conception rate. And they differ. It's not quite the same as pregnancy rate. Conception rate, strictly defined, as a percentage of cows that became pregnant out of those that were actually bred. And we know that fertilization occurs about 95% of the time if we breed a cow that's in heat. Yet when we preg check them, how often do we get higher than 75%? It's not very often. So we know also that embryonic mortality sure takes its toll. So if we can do things to improve the fertility and maintain those pregnancies, we're going to be a step ahead as well. Another one is postpartum interval. Just the interval from calving to reinitiation of estrous cycles. And I throw this up here because some of the slides I'm going to share with you refer to improvement in reproductive performance as a shorter postpartum interval. Let's look at cow age and how does that affect postpartum interval. I know you've all seen this data before. It's not new data. The yellow bar there represents cows that calve the first 20 days of the calving season, broken out by older cows and younger cows. Those that calved early in the calving season, most of them are cycling by the time we start the breeding season. But what about those cows that calve the middle 20, second 20 days or the third 20 days of the calving season? We really have our work cut out for us trying to get these younger cows rebred. And so we know that at least we have to increase the percentage of young cows that calve early in the calving season. And how we do that, we will get at some ideas here in a minute. Let's look back at calving distribution again. If we calve heifers ahead of the cow herd, we're really looking now at starting the breeding season out there further, at least relative to the starting of calving here. Okay, so those heifers do have a little bit more time. The pink line represents when the heifers finish calving. On average, they all have at least 50 days. Or I should say that all of them have at least 50 days. The average would be somewhat greater than that. 20 years ago, that was enough to calve our heifers early. That solved most of our problems. But today, it's not solving all the problems. So we need to look at some other things. Let's look at the effect of calving day during the calving season on subsequent reproductive performance. And if you look at this, the reproductive failing to rebreed is on the y-axis, and the day of calving during the calving season along the x-axis. And I want to point out this is for all cows in a herd. This is not just the heifers or the 2-year or the 3-year-old. Okay? Those that calve early have a high pregnancy rate, a low culling rate, or a low open rate. But as we get into those cows that calve later, the percentage of open cows increases. It's not surprising as well. So now we know that the heifers need to calve early. And they need to calve in a short calving season if they're going to rebreed. This is the fertility of an individual breeding. Okay, there aren't a lot of cows that come into estrus 30 days after calving, but this is what the fertility of those heats look like. They increase as the postpartum interval increases. And so the take-home message from that is embryonic death decreases as the postpartum interval increases. And that makes sense. The longer a cow has to heal from calving and return to normal, I guess we can say, the better off chances of everything working properly physiologically. So our goal is to have a short heifer calving season. And in order to do that, we need to pay a little bit more attention to developing heifers to 65% of their mature weight at breeding, instead of breeding them simply because they're cycling and they weigh 750 pounds. That's what we had to get them to 15 years ago. If we want to keep them in the cow herd, I think we have to do a little better if our mature cow size has increased. It may help to select replacements from older calves. It certainly helps to identify the target weight and feed them to meet that target weight at the beginning of breeding. In order to get a short heifer calving season, we need to either utilize a short breeding season, which may require inducing estrous cycles in some instances, and I'll tell you why. In my opinion, and I don't think you'll get less to disagree with me, and since I get to be Jeff later, I'll agree. Synchronizing estrous cycles in heifers is a benefit. If we don't do that, we need to consider fetal aging at pregnancy diagnosis, and that may require earlier pregnancy diagnosis, and at least requires pregnancy diagnosis by somebody who's capable of identifying early and late pregnancies. And it may require ultrasound. Here's one practice that gets overlooked nowadays. We forgot about it because we haven't needed it too much. Is bull exposure. On the y-axis here is the cumulative percent increase in cyclic heifers. And along the x-axis is age of these heifers. This is the difference between those heifers that were exposed to sterile bulls, either vasectomized or epididymectomized. There's a couple other ways at 350 days of age. And with just 15 days of bull exposure, we've already seen 14% more heifers in estrus. By about 45 days, we've maximized our response. So a take-home message from this might be that 15 to 45 days of bull exposure is sufficient. Now, I just finished telling you that we're not having trouble getting heifers to reach puberty. But we also know that if heifers are bred on their third estrus, the fertility of that breeding is higher than if we breed them on their first estrus. So it may be beneficial still to use bull exposure to make sure more of those heifers are on a subsequent estrus. Here's the data to prove it. Those heifers that were exposed to bulls or not exposed to bulls when they reached puberty, take-home message here is a higher pregnancy rate the first 21 days. If we want to get them to breed and conceive early in the breeding season, then we've got to have them exhibiting a fertile estrus. Estrus synchronization with AI or natural service, and I don't want to steal what Les is going to talk about, so I only have one more slide along this line. The top line here is the 14-day feeding MGA and 19 days later giving prostaglandin injection. Certainly the most utilized estrus synchronization program for beef heifers because it works very well. Okay, with AI, check heat, breed heifers right there. If I were going to consider using this natural service, then I would eliminate the prostaglandin injection and just turn in bulls a few days before I expect these heifers to be in estrus. And why not use it? It's cheap. It's effective. It's easy. And the potential for downstream economic benefits is tremendous. Because we need those heifers to conceive and calve early. There's a data set from Kentucky that utilized that bottom protocol for synchronizing and breeding heifers. And it just shows the first 10 days of the breeding season, the pregnancy rate, and the first 30 days, the pregnancy rate. Now, the next bar there is hypothetical. 83% doesn't seem like it's adequate for us. We want a higher pregnancy rate than that so we can brag about our heifers. But we're talking 30 days and we've got 83% of them bred. Are we better off to cull any of the heifers at 16 months of age or 18 months of age when we diagnose them as being open and feed them out? Or are we better to let them breed for another cycle, achieve that high pregnancy rate, and become our troublemakers? Just something to think about. How about calving assistance? Does calving assistance, can we do anything with calving assistance in order to decrease the postpartum interval or help cows get rebred? And the answer is yes. This is a data set that shows calving assistance when it's provided early or late. Okay? Stage 2 labor is defined as when you see the water sac or when you see hooves. Okay? If you look at this fall pregnancy rate, 14% higher in heifers that received early assistance after 1.5 hours of stage 2 labor. And the take-home message from this is that after 1.5 hours of stage 2 labor, every 30-minute delay in assistance results in a 6-day longer interval to pregnancy. Every 30-minute delay. Let's look at one other thing. Look at the weaning weight differences. 35 pounds. Even when calf prices are poor, that 35 pounds is worth $25. So every time you have to get up in the middle of the night to check heifers, think, I might save $25 tonight. Or make $25 and spend it on yourself. Or better yet, I'll meet you in the bar later. What about taking care of this dystocia problem? Why don't we avoid this dystocia problem? And the reason I have this slide in here is because I want to make a point to commercial producers, especially. Commercial producers need to breed heifers to calving ease proven sires. Not cheap semen or free semen, which I'm guilty of, but I don't have to calve them. But to proven sires. I mean, that's the economic benefit of using AI in heifers, is that we can help prevent or decrease dystocia. And I applaud those breed associations, and you know who you are, who now report EPDs for a daughter or maternal calving ease, because it's going to make a big difference. Let's go back to this one. We're doing everything right now. We're developing heifers to reach 65% of the mature weight at breeding. We might be synchronizing or at least inducing their estrous cycle so we get more of them to breed early in the breeding season so they calve in a relatively short calving season. But that might not be enough. And in some instances, that's still not enough. Calving heifers early and in a short breeding season, or in a short calving season, won't solve all problems today. And so we need to look inside a cow. Now let's look at the nutrient partitioning in the beef cow. And this is the order in which nutrients are partitioned. Okay? You don't want to be at the bottom of this list. There's a good and bad about number 5 and 6 here being ahead of number 8. The bad part is 8's at the bottom of the list. It's the first thing to go when nutrients aren't sufficient, like after calving. But once we get cows cycling, if we can get them pregnant, they're going to maintain it most of the time. Conditions have to get pretty bad to lose pregnancy. Let's talk about some of the things we might do in that area. One of them might be to improve the energy availability for reproduction. And I know that you all know that we can't feed a 2-year-old cow well enough to get her to gain condition after calving without scouring the calves. We can't feed them enough. We've got to have them in better condition at calving. Take-home message from this is body condition score 5. That's the recommendation at calving. Why? Well, there's not much benefit to have them be a body condition score 6. We probably can't afford that most of the time. But we damn sure have to avoid a body condition score of less than 5. Because that's detrimental to our cow herd. And we know we can do things like sorting cows by age and body condition score for winter feeding. And most of you I know do it. Most of us do it. Here's a freebie, and everybody hates it. It's free. Just like if I was going to buy a drink for everybody in here later. It's free. Can I put it on my tab? Maybe I can. 48-hour calf removal. Remove the calves for 2 days. Sure, there's a lot of bawling going on. Everybody needs a pair of earplugs. Maybe it's not quite free. But it didn't cost you anything. Look at the percent pregnant the first 21 days of breeding. There's a benefit to it. But we don't like it because we don't like all the bawling. Well, I'm sorry. There's other things about the beef industry you don't like. Let's change it. Two things. It's important that we try to provide calves a dry environment with clean grass hay and water. And it's important that we pair up before returning to pasture. Young calves will get bummed if we don't. How about improving energy utilization, especially of roughages, with ionophores? Rumensin, Monensin. Sorry, I've been out of nutrition classes long enough. I know there are others on the market, but I don't know them. Summary of 5 studies showed those cows that received ionophores from calving through the breeding season had an 18-day shorter postpartum interval. Surely that's expensive, right? We can't afford to do that. Otherwise, we'd be doing it, right? The cost is less than a penny a day. Unless you have horses in the pasture, then the cost goes up considerably because it can create problems in horses. How about bull exposure for postpartum cows? We talked about it for heifers. Just a summary here. Bull exposure, sterile bull exposure, can also decrease postpartum interval in cows by about 15 days. Help return them to cycling. Studies that are reported in the literature used 0 to 4 weeks after calving for 30 days, or began bull exposure then, or until the start of breeding. And those studies also used bull-to-cow ratio of 1 to 20. I don't know what you can get by with. But I do know that exposure to androgenized cows can produce the same result. And we can androgenize cows with 5 Synovex H implants, for example. Now, we owe it to the industry to remove those implants before we send those cows to sale. But they can be cows that have lost their calves and we intend to sell anyway. What about hormonal induction of estrous cycles? Oftentimes, it's cheaper than providing a lot of feed to increase body condition score. GnRH is one hormone that can be used to induce estrous cycles, and it is used in the SelectSync protocol, the CoSync protocol that Roy mentioned, the 7-11 sync. There are so many I can't list them now. Progestins also can be used. And I want to point out something here, is that all progestins are not equal. Progestins are progesterone-like compounds. They do include progesterone. And this data set here, and I realize this is a little harder to see, this is the percentage of cows along the y-axis that were induced as measured by expressing estrus with the electronic heat watch detection system, or induced as determined by frequent blood samples and measuring progesterone in the blood. In other words, they ovulated. Okay? Two common methods of measuring estrus induction. Pink bars represent cows that were 35 days postpartum and received a CEDR, a progesterone-releasing intravaginal device. The two blue bars represent cows that received MGA. The low dose is 0.5 milligram per head per day, which is the normal dose. And the high dose is 8 times that amount, or 4 milligrams per head per day. And you can see very easily by looking at this that the MGA did nothing to induce estrous cycles in cows. The CEDRs did. And the take-home message from this is CEDRs are expensive today. We don't want to pay $8 for every cow. We'd rather feed MGA at a cost of 20 cents. But it won't do it. Last thing I'm going to visit with you about is early and permanent weaning. Oftentimes, all else fails and we have to rely on desperate measures. And while this may seem like a pretty desperate measure, you may decide in the end that it's not. The reason it works is it decreases the energy and the protein demand for a cow-calf pair by about 30%. And how early depends on who you ask in here. It can be anywhere from 30 to 150 days. But if we're going to see a reproductive benefit, then we're talking about early weaning at 30 to 60 days. And we're going to show you that the greatest response is among first calf heifers. This is a Nebraska study in which early weaning was performed 8 days before the start of a 42-day breeding season. And the bottom line is the one you want to look at. Increase in pregnancy rate ranged from 8% in older cows to 26% higher pregnancy rate in a 42-day breeding season among first calf heifers. Clemson study that used early weaning at about 56 days of age had 35% more heifers calve the first 30 days of the breeding, 35% more 3-year-olds calve the subsequent year, the first 30 days of the calving season. An Oklahoma study in which early weaning was utilized in Hereford heifers or mature cows. These two columns represent first calf heifers, early weaned and normal weaned, the same thing over here for cows. Take-home message here is in the red box, or pink box. At normal weaning, these early weaned heifers were 90 pounds heavier than their herd mates. They've gained an extra 90 pounds during that period. One body condition score. In addition to that, pregnancy rates were 38% higher. If you look at the mature cows, same kind of thing happened. 120 pounds heavier at normal weaning, at the time of normal weaning in the fall. 1.5 body condition scores roughly. And 100% pregnancy rate, 17% higher than their control. So early weaning works. And the kicker from this is the early weaned calves were 88 pounds heavier than the normal weaned calves at the time of normal weaning. How about the cost benefits? If you look at the calf diet cost from 50 to 205 days of age, about $75 a calf. If you look at the calf additional weaning weight, the lowest I found in literature was an extra 60 pounds. Granted, that's a little bit higher price than this. Last year we saw, we were able to recover most of that feed cost just in extra weaning weight. What we don't recover in extra weaning weight, we're able to recover in cow feed savings because they're 1 to 1.5 body condition scores higher. So we've already paid for it economically, and now we're going to get an 8 to 38% higher pregnancy rate. I think a lot of producers can make this work year in and year out. Even heifers that have been cheated and underdeveloped at breeding can recover with early weaning. Practical considerations to early weaning. Back to this one. Those cows have to have calved 30 days before the start of breeding season to have any benefit from it. We can't pull a calf that's less than 30 days off the cow. Otherwise, we have to feed it milk replacer in its diet. So only those cows that have calved at least 30 days before breeding are candidates for early weaning. And in fact, heifers are probably ideal candidates for early weaning, especially if we calve our heifers ahead of the cow herd. So now they even have more time to recover. And those calves are a little bit older at early weaning, so they'll adapt a little bit easier to feed bump. How do we optimize the rebreeding performance of young cows? First thing we need to do is identify the problem females. Then we have to identify why there are problems. Need to manage heifers to calve early and in a short calving season. That does require, in order for them to breed, to develop them to 65% of their mature weight at breeding. It may require that we induce estrous cycles or synchronize estrous cycles. We should be using AI to calving ease proven sires. And it may require earlier pregnancy diagnosis and fetal aging. Calving and postpartum management. We talked about cows being a minimum body condition score of 5 at calving. Providing early calving assistance. Provide young cows with the best feed resources you've got, especially if those young cows are your problem cows. feed our own forest to improve utilization of forages, induce or synchronize estrous cycles with either bull exposure hormonally or temporary calf removal. When all else fails, early weaning is not going to. Drought situations, situations when beginning of breeding season rolls around and those cows are just in poor condition. It will work.